Hey guys, how you doing? Solo episode from me this evening. Something happened today that really caught my attention. I want to share, want to have a bit of a rant about it, and I'd love to know what you guys think. So my wife sent me an Instagram post that was a guy, he's just dissecting a story that he's come across. And to be frank, from my perspective, I hadn't heard enough about it until this moment. And the story is about the new age verification laws that have come into play in Australia. They've been signed into law and they will be enforced as of the very end of December this year. At least that's the story being told at the moment. And I just, well, hey, I'm going through a process at the moment of learning to handle my emotions. And so it's very interesting that this triggered me so much. I was just so outraged by this. It's like, hang on a second. So what's actually going on here? And so I think it's a good podcast episode, right? I've done some digging around and the information that I've found is like, well, let's talk about it, right? It's dubious at best. It is without doubt, in theory, highly authoritarian at worst, and is a change of the playing field. It's very, very simple. A major government, the government of Australia, is policing online behavior more so than ever before and out in the open, right? And they're using choke points such as search engine businesses, such as social media companies, to put big pressure on them as providers of services to do what they're asking. And in some ways, it's like, what a surprise. It's almost an even more sophisticated approach to controlling people digitally than what the Twitter files exposed. Like, absolutely unbelievable how many times the Australian government had independently been in touch with Twitter during the COVID era. I can't remember the exact number, but it was in the thousands. Absolutely incredible story. Before going down that, let me just share my screen and I'm going to run through a couple of things that I've been looking at today because this really, really wound me up. So I'm going to start here, which is a Guardian article that I came across. And in this case, it's actually in relation to the UK, where I grew up, and the Online Safety Act that has recently been signed into law. And it's interesting here that the Guardian's talking about this. And, you know, is it a license for censorship? I mean, yes, is the answer, right? I mean, there's been recent announcements from the European Union as to similar type stuff. And it's deeply concerning for anyone out there that's interested in freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of action. And, you know, why should the government be getting involved in this? What gives the government the right to teach me what I can and can't do online? Hot topic, right? So just to paraphrase some of the stuff that this journalist is talking through, but in just a few weeks since the new laws come into play, some, you know, ridiculous stuff has been blocked by them. So Spotify playlists, Joe Biden's police funding plan, something to do with Minecraft, the game. Just how much resources is it going to require the government to police this stuff? Like, it's an extraordinarily large job, will obviously cost them a huge amount. And what for? Like, what for? Now, ostensibly, this is for the children. You know, save the children. We must get involved in how they're spending time online. Otherwise, you know, everyone's doomed. And in order to save one section of society, the whole society has to change. This is one of the things I think is so critical here. It's like, okay, so there's a minority, children. Let's tell everyone they have to change their behavior and jump into line in order to save this small subsection. Like, classic case of the, you know, the greater good, right? We're not safe unless we save everyone. It's like, well, is that true? And what is going on? Side note, I did hear an absolutely shocking story that makes me as a father, and particularly a father of daughters, made my skin crawl. And there was a court case that was happening in New Zealand in relation to a rape of an underage child. And it was a 16-year-old boy and a 12-year-old girl. At least this is what I remember. I'd have to double check the exact ages, but like very young kids. And what this kid had done to this little girl was absolutely horrendous. And they're like, how does this, like, what's happened here? And obviously on this teenager's laptop, they found a history book of pornography. This kid's been watching tons of porn, and in some ways, psychologically, it's normalized. That makes me feel really sick. You know, like, oh, that's clearly in some ways evil. But like, who's to blame? Is it 99.9% of internet users? Or is it that kid's parents? Like, why are they not policing what he's doing on his laptop? How are they not paying more attention? Why was he even in that position in the first place? And I've obviously got tons of questions that I can't possibly answer, but it's real, right? The idea of a child sitting on a computer and researching things that are frankly sick, right? And that manifesting in a physical reality for some other younger victim, like horrible, horrible story. So I do not want to walk straight past this idea that, you know, there is definitely a real threat out there. And especially as a father, that's the kind of shit that scares the shit out of me. But who's responsible for the child? Well, in my opinion, it's the parent, right? It's not the job of the government to come in and start policing everything for everyone. I think that's actually completely counterintuitive and unhelpful, and a classic case of government intervention, which will have negative externalities that perhaps they quite like, right? So I'm not going to go into the whole rest of this article, but the point is that this is happening in the UK as well as here in Australia. And funnily enough, in Australia, it's called the same thing, the Online Safety Act. I wonder if they had been buddies together and wrote up this policy. But here in Australia, it's been, you know, it's all about age checks, and you're going to have a digital ID every single time you use a search engine. And they might be using facial recognition. They want age, they want address, they want, you know, as much information as they get to, again, protect the children. Australians will soon be subjected to a mandatory age check across the internet landscape in what has been described as huge and unprecedented change. Now, I think you'll get this very quickly. I don't like this. And it's because I don't believe that the government has any right to be controlling my behavior online. Now, to some extent, this is a similar problem to what we see throughout society, right? Why should the government be able to tell you whether or not you can try crack cocaine? Why is forms of drugs completely illegal, but other forms aren't? And especially when you go down the like more medicinal route, right? And you've got the very obvious lack of incentive for the pharmaceutical industry to allow people to use natural supplements and natural healthcare products, but they want you to get pumped with chemotherapy and radiation. Why? Because they make money. So there's always going to be a butting of the heads between the status quo, the ability to make money, and the way that it's possible to manipulate the government into your bidding, right? In many ways, that's what COVID taught us, right? We're living in a free market, we're told. But actually, it was very clear that there was some kind of, I even described it like this before, like medical apartheid here in Melbourne, where if you didn't get a form of, very early stage medical experimentation implemented, you couldn't get access to certain parts of the city, be that a restaurant, a cafe, a sports stadium, a school, an office. It was completely insane, but it was very obviously almost like a medical fascism, right? The government was working in lockstep with the private businesses, and they all made a ton of money with no consequences. I have people in my direct family that have side effects from COVID-19 jabs. Are they getting paid? No. Are the people that put the policy in place during the lockdowns still not in jail? Yes. Now are they in cushy jobs in the pharmaceutical industry? Absolutely. So this is going on whether you like it or not, Jake. I understand that. And I do also believe in this whole idea of like, just focus on what you can control. But the purpose of this this podcast episode is just, this caught my attention today and just wound me up. Be like, God, of course they're coming for the internet. What a surprise. And, you know, being an embracer of AI, I thought I'd run this through Grok and just see what the situation was. And so asked for a summary of what the Online Safety Act was and what are three impacts. And I started off with the UK. And, you know, they talk about the fact that it's obviously, it's been regulated by Ofcom and it's about enhancing protection for children. And that sounds great, right? Who doesn't want a nicer world for a child to be in? But my pushback is it the government's job to be policing what a teenager does digitally? Like, to me, the obvious answer is no. It's absolutely the parent's job. They are still under your roof, right? The day they're 18 and they walk out, well, they're an adult. They're allowed to drink alcohol. They're allowed to vote. They are officially of an age at which point they're no longer going to be sent to juvenile jail. They'll end up in, you know, big boys, bad school. And at which point they take the blame for their decisions. But prior to that point, it's the parents' responsibility. And it's very clear to me this. But of course, people don't like to take responsibility for their own problems. And often that might be their children. Oh no. Let's get the government in to help us out here. But what are the feedback or implementation issues or implications? Well, obviously, privacy and security for all users. So in the extremely niche scenario of some twisted teenage boy who's had his way with his neighbor's daughter because of watching porn, every single other internet user now has to report their age when they're making an online search. Doesn't that seem like overkill? Absolutely to me. And then, of course, it's like, well, then you have the potential for censorship. Right now, the government is actively getting involved in who can see what and what's allowed. They are playing God. Now, to some degree, that's what Zuckerberg has been doing for a long time, right? These extraordinarily powerful entrepreneurs out of Silicon Valley, they're sitting and they are in control of just an enormous amount of power. I heard someone recently describe Zuckerberg as a Caesar, as Rome of the digital world, right? Billions of people are using digital products that he is still the majority controller of Meta. It's absolutely unbelievable scenario. And I then asked the same question around, you know, Australia. And again, it's amusing, isn't it? The Online Safety Act. Now, I noted here, this is kind of one to keep in mind. This came in 2021. Oh, interesting. Well, 2021 was height of the lockdowns. Was anyone really looking at this stuff at the time? Not really. I noticed that the implementation will be on the 27th of December this year when everyone's on Christmas holidays. We'll just sneak it in the back door, shall we? As if no one's even noticing. And basically, yeah, every time you make a search, you're going to have to put in some kind of verification. It might be a face ID, like self-verification type thing that you use for currently banking or some other app that you might have. And, you know, obviously they're trying to wheedle out a 15-year-old that's trying to watch something that they shouldn't be watching. But what was interesting here was I noticed the penalties, right? It's actually a smart move, obviously, is you've got, you know, the CEO of four search engine businesses that you can go and talk to and say, by the way, if one of your users is falling foul of our new law, we're going to charge you $50 million per breach. So the incentive for those businesses is like, well, we're batting on your turf. Obviously, we're going to fall into line. So I'm expecting absolutely the big software players to jump in line. It might even be Apple itself. It was an interesting one. This recently, someone came up with this to me. It's like, what happens when Apple get incentivized by such an extent through either some kind of like heavy taxation or just outright bribery at the very top to, you know, use the threat of like, you don't get access to your iPhone unless you do X, Y, Z. So, wow. Okay. So suddenly you're cut off from your communication tool, your finance tool, your entertainment tool. And, you know, it can see exactly where you are. It can see how much money you've got. Like the threat to potentially heavily control people is just so obviously there, right? Now, again, I guess I'm throwing this out as like a, what does this mean or what might happen? I don't know. And that's where you come back to like one of the reasons that Bitcoin is so empowering and the idea of freedom technology and why I'm so excited about something like Nostr. because it's quite obvious, right? There's just extraordinary choke points or bottlenecks through which authoritarian-minded players can begin to exert some extreme power. And this for sure is, this is fourth-turning stuff, right? If you've been out there and you've read, you know, what happens every 80-odd years, well, history rhymes, but then people forget and stupid shit happens again and people die. And then out of the ashes comes something new. And from the study I've done, we're right in the middle right now of a seismic shift. Now, can it mean that the rise of China is imminent and that's going to be the new world superpower? Or is the US going to have some kind of resurgence? I don't know what's going to happen. And it's one of the beauties of Bitcoin and self-custody where in some ways I don't need to know. Like, I'm cool with where I'm at. To continue on the Online Safety Act stuff, you know, again, like, what are the impacts of the implementation? Oh, well, enhance child safety. Great. Okay, great. So you're stopping some people from watching porn. That sounds really important. But what else does it mean? Well, surveillance concerns, privacy concerns. So what I can't make an internet search now without the government finding out what it was. Now, to some degree, I'm not stupid, right? That's already happening. So as someone who's a non-techie, I'm becoming more and more interested in privacy and a digital privacy specifically. And it's really hard, right? If you're using a browser like Chrome, as I'm doing right now to utilize Riverside at its best, like, Chrome is built to surveil its users. Very, very simple. In fact, you could argue that Google in general is a huge surveillance business. And I've heard someone like Matt O'Dell talk about surveillance capitalism. It's a great term because it really makes you think about, hang on, well, what's going on here? And to some degree, it's so true. They're monetizing eyeballs. So they have their attention on trying to get more of your attention, but equally, like, how do they keep it? And what are they doing with that? And yeah, it's absolutely wild. And of course, it's going to upset the user experience. Oh, every time I make a Google search, I'm going to have to give my facial recognition. What the hell? And then it's like, well, what power does that put in the hands of people that, you know, could use it the wrong way? We'll have to wait and see what happens. My initial instinct, by the way, with all of this is there'll be ways around this. It'll be so hard for them to actually police properly. There'll be a number of alternative products that spring up, and it'll be really difficult to police. One obvious route, of course, is to use some kind of VPN, which I was asking about this. And again, I need to do some additional research around this, of course. But generally speaking, like, the VPN is helpful, and I'd highly recommend using one, essentially. And do take some time to figure out what that was. Like, Proton VPN, for example, that I was recommended to use, it works pretty well for me. So yeah, in summary, a VPN is a powerful tool for enhancing online privacy, but it's not a silver bullet. It protects against many forms of tracking and surveillance, but falls short of ensuring complete privacy due to provider trust, advanced tracking methods, and legal pressures. In short, because VPNs are run by businesses, and businesses are ultimately at the behest of the domicile that they sit within, there's going to be ways for these laws being enacted by large, powerful governments to actually either phase them out or put pressure on them to supply data. And yeah, it's not so exciting as you can imagine, at least to me anyway. The last question I asked is, like, so in Australia, the Online Safety Act will penalize the search engines and social media businesses, correct? What happens to the user if the government deems they're in breach? So we already touched on this in that, you know, it said when a user is in breach, a fine of up to $50 million could be applied per breach. So imagine if I went and made 10 Google searches without complying to this age reassurance requirement. I'd have a $500 million bill for Google, but the incentive is huge to actually enforce it. So expect it's going to happen, right? The government is pushing into place a surveillance system for your internet activity. Simple. But then here's the interesting bit, right? What's the non-compliance mean for the actual user? Well, of course, they're going to know who you are, right? So first of all, they're going to kind of give you formal warnings. Oh, you can't post that. You know, take it down. And on top of that, they can then start fining you $150,000, right? like not a small amount of money. If you've posted something they don't like, there's a fine for 150 grand. That's a very real cost. It's like, okay, so hang on a second. What can they do here? Well, they can throw their weight about. They're like, yep, that's actually not a discussion we want to hear about. It could be someone, for example, here in Australia, apparently you have the freedom to assemble, and apparently it's okay to have discussion that is anti-government. Now, I would already argue with the way that some of the anti-lockdown protests were handled by the Australian government that I physically attended myself a number of years ago, the speed with which that right was removed was laughable, right? Oh, look, we've got this rule that says you're not allowed to be more than 5 kilometers away from home because of the health officer. So now you're not allowed to protest the government. Like, it was literally stuff like that were saying. You're like, what do you mean? And they enforced that, right? I had someone turn up on my doorstep from the local police department trying to find my wife after finding a Instagram post that someone in our friendship group must have seen and been pissed off with us about and been on the other side of the discussion and reported her. It's like, this is full on communist shit, right? Sitting in your home, looking out the window and reporting your neighbors to the secret police. That's happening in Australia right now. I witnessed it. So what the hell is going on here? Well, what, the UK's got the same name, Online Safety Act, same in Australia, happening in the European Union. Like, there's obviously people pulling the strings behind the scenes. Now, what really scares me about this is basically the ability to start pressuring people to behave in a certain way. And another analogy I might give is, like, people already self-censor on digital platforms such that they don't get deplatformed. So if you're someone who relies on YouTube to make your crust and run a business, well, surprise, surprise, you don't really want to fall foul of YouTube's community guidelines because you can't make any money any longer. It's like, okay, well, that's going to start happening across the entire internet. And I'll stop sharing screen at that point. It's like, well, hang on a sec. So every single time someone goes online and they want to investigate any idea or thought or requirement that they have, they are able to obviously access the entire globe's knowledge through a smartphone and supercomputer in their pocket. But every time they have something that they need, the government is asking for their identification. Oh, we better double check that you're not doing anything naughty before you go and do any of this stuff. And the threat that is about to literally be enforced is, oh, you did something naughty, 150 grand. Oh, and the company that allowed you to do something naughty, they're going to get a $50 million fine. So they're not messing around. And I think that's what really just fired me up so much. It's like, what a surprise. What a surprise. So, oh my gosh, of course, the teenagers, we must protect the children. Let's censor the entire community so that we can look after, in theory, a small group. This is, what's the right way of saying? That's collectivism, straight up. And what you're starting to see here in Australia, for sure, is socialism on the rise. Like, there is no doubt about that. The average person is being so downtrodden by the volume or the pace of inflation that nihilism is on the rise. How do you even own a house? People are drowning in debt. And the government's obviously getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. In fact, they're a huge employer. Okay, that's interesting. So why would you vote against the organization that pays you to live? Misalignment of incentive is so huge. And it makes me very scared. Like, so hang on. So, okay, if you're now going to get an environment upon which people are self-censoring at a massive scale in order to toe the line, that is a very real impact on public discourse. And why would someone want to go out there and have a contrary opinion about something because it's going to cost them 150 grand? That's absolutely wild. And what does it mean? I mean, I'd love to get your thoughts. So, you know, send me an email, hi@jakewoodhouse.io. Is this something that you support? Is it something that you think is outright terrifying? And what are some of the ways around this that you know, inevitably will pop up. And I think of the example of this crazy period in Melbourne where you were being asked to show your papers everywhere you went in relation to your vaccine status. So it's like, have you had the first shot? Oh, you've had the second shot. Oh, you've had the booster shot. And if you didn't show them, then you weren't able to access the services or the products of whatever the business was that was supplying them. You know, and this went to extreme lengths, right? Trying to get into aged care homes or, you know, people who are sports players weren't allowed to play in the team unless they got it done. Of course, a very, very healthy black market popped up almost immediately for fake papers. It's like, hang on, no, I'm not doing that. And of course, it was very difficult to police in reality because, you know, how do you say, oh, that's not a real document? The person on the door is completely untrained. They don't even really know what they're looking for. The business is under pressure anyway because people are so stressed they're not spending any money. And of course, like, there's ways around it. Now, am I advocating for breaking the law? No, but I have a very, very healthy, I'd like to debate anyone about this, essentially. Like, is this actually a good thing? Do you support this? And like, this seems pretty insane. Like, hello, you know, maybe it is time for some kind of, you know, Ayn Rand inspired Galt's Gulch where you can just go and hide from all this madness, the productive sneak away from the common collectivist madness and sit somewhere where they're completely undetectable and build a future in which, you know, no one can stop them. And to me, this is getting more and more important, right? Who is actually in your direct community? Who can you rely on for your food? Who can you rely on for your water? How are you going to educate your children? Where do you go if all hell breaks loose? And I don't know the answers to these in a form that I'm super pleased with at this point. So I've got some work to do. But either way, yeah, look, love to know your thoughts. I am instinctively extremely dubious of the net benefit of any kind of legislation like this. And it's pretty clear, right, that the road to authoritarianism is, well, we're heading there full steam. It's as simple as that. So with that, I'll leave you there. Love to hear from you. Thanks so much.